broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
There are still thousands of miles of beaches that have not been touched.
Do not use at your house. I have warned you, she will be fired if she goes to your house.
There are still thousands of miles of beaches.
But I do remember having a bag of mushrooms in my refrigerator.
That's beautiful, man. Oh, that's Nicolas Cage. 877-876-FILL. That's perfect. I do remember having a bag of mushrooms in my refrigerator. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all your listening needs. You can watch us right now online. There is a live streaming video of us as we speak. And, ooh, I got to turn off the fan.
I bought a new fan.
It's not a big deal, but, I mean, I bought a new fan, so I'm feeling very cooled down by that. Wait a second, man.
Yeah, do the other one.
I'll do it, bud. I'll do it. Don't put your fingers in it. It's not the fabric kind of blade that we had. That's a fan that can hurt you. So watch it. All right, 877-876-PHIL, as well as our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch live streaming video, listen to live streaming audio of our show right now, and get the downloads each and every day after the show. So you can listen to it. We are making our archives downloadable. 2004's January and February, both months, 60 days or there, you know, therein, are now downloads. So not only can you listen to years and years of archives, you can download this stuff. This is the beauty of it. This is the beauty of getting a backstage pass. You also have access to a comment section that only the subscribers have access to. Guaranteed email response from Phil sooner or later. And it's right there with our backstage pass, plus all the other goodies that will be coming your way. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us here in just a moment. We're going to be talking more about the science, really, of the Gulf and this terrible calamity that has befallen the Gulf of Mexico. A little bit about the science, but first I want to just give you an update. This is from the Gulf of Mexico. Gulf gusher to keep flowing as cap test delayed. A pivotal moment of the Gulf oil crisis hit an unexpected snag on Tuesday evening when officials announced they need more time before they could begin choking off the geyser of crude at the bottom of the sea. BP and federal officials did not say what prompted this decision or when the testing would begin on a new, tighter-fitting cap it had just installed on the blown-out well. The oil giant had been scheduled to start slowly shutting off valves on the 75-ton cap aimed at stopping the flow of oil for the first time in 3 months. It seemed that BP was on track to start the test Tuesday afternoon. The cap lowered over the blown-out well on Monday night is designed to be a temporary fix until a well is plugged underground. A series of methodical preliminary steps were completed before progress was stalled. Engineers spent hours on a seismic survey, creating a map of the rock under the seafloor to spot potential dangers like gas pockets. It also provides a baseline to compare with later surveys. An unstable area around the wellbore could create bigger problems if the leak continued elsewhere. So one of the scientists on scene, a man by the name of Don Van Nieuwenhuis, director of professional geoscience programs at the University of Houston, said this is a very, very big concern. They need to get a scan of where things are. That way, when they do pressure testing, they know to look out for ruptures or changes. So there's no question, and I will get to Dr. Ron Tarner on the line here. There's no question that there was all of a sudden somebody, Ron, said something like, have we checked for this yet? And it turned out maybe that they hadn't checked for that. What do you think?
Well, Phil, there's a bigger question, and thank you for having me on your program, because this week, Scientists United for Action in the Gulf, which is a organization of some 350 scientists, and among them are Ron Lyle, Dr. Jim Kinnett, myself, and others, are going on as many television and radio programs as we can. We have also published a series of articles in scientific journals that have been published both solo and in tandem with other scientists. What's important now is for the public to get educated. And we are disappointed in the level of education that the public is evidencing, Phil, when it comes to this oil calamity. You just asked me a question about a problem with this cap? And I would love to be able to answer that question. But we have other questions that need to be answered, too. And there's a lot of bad questions being asked. A lot of stupid questions being asked.
Well, the question that I just asked you, is that a stupid question?
What was your question?
The question that I asked you was, they have delayed the sealing of this cap and the testing of these valves because it's possible that there are some gas pockets or some geologic features that may make this a dangerous test, that the pressure that is created by them sealing these valves could cause some kind of a geologic event that they don't want to have happen. Am I right in what I'm asking?
All right. That's a good question. And that's a question that I will answer as a scientist. But we are putting people on notice. And this is really the only way that we have found to be effective in educating the public to ask questions that are sensible, that have to do with helping clean up the Gulf, that have to do with helping seal off this terrible leak, asking good questions. And to that end, we will be responding, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but we're going to be responding, and this is, you could almost call this, Phil, a kind of a theatrical event, but we're going to be responding in baby talk.
In baby talk.
In baby talk. Now, we're going to be responding to people who are asking questions so stupid that it demands that we make an example of them. Now, do I break into baby talk as a result of your question? No, that was a good question. Then let me answer. The answer to your question is, in part. In part, it is correct that they want to make sure they look at this map, this geological map, and ensure that no event, as you say, takes place as the result of them sealing the valve. You're wrong when you say that they just thought of it. No, they didn't just think of it. Something else has happened that they are not saying the reason for, and I don't know what it is. So they're using this as the public statement. And
well, what else could that be?
All right. Now, I want your audience to understand something. That question that you just asked me, what else could it be? I have to tell you, that's a stupid question.
Why is that a stupid question?
It's a stupid question because when you say, what else could it be, you're not going to get an answer to that question. What else could it be besides the possibility of a geologic event? Don't ask a question you're not going to get an answer to. And it doesn't matter. The fact is they've stopped the oil from, they have stopped testing this valve because there's a problem. So now I have to answer that. When you said, what else could it be, this is what I'm doing, as well as other scientists associated with SUFA. And
SUFA is what?
That's another stupid question.
Oh, come on, doctor. What SUFA, Scientists United for Action.
Yes. So here is my answer to what else could it be. Be do do. Okay, that is baby talk.
And all right, can I ask you something? Are you going to be, you and scientists across the country are going to be talking that way? And what's the point?
To get people to recognize when they're asking stupid questions that they only ask to make themselves look important, as opposed to asking questions that will actually give them information to help them protect and preserve a planet which is right now being badly taken care of by the human race. Now, we will talk normally to anyone that asks a good question, but I'm going to be talking baby talk to anyone that makes a baby-style statement.
And when I asked you the question, when I said to you, I just read the news story from the Gulf, they had suspended closing off those valves, they used as the reason that they were concerned by closing those valves, they would back the pressure up into the line that might generate something of a geologic nature. They need to look at where these gas pockets are. Am I right or am I wrong about this? They need to look.
No, you're right.
they, all right, then they need to look at the geologic reality, the geologic physical aspects of what they're dealing with. And you said that I'm right in saying that that's a concern, but I'm wrong in saying that that's why they, that that's why they've delayed shutting the valves off. And then when I said, what else could it be?
When you asked, what else could it be, that was a stupid question, because, you know, even if I gave you the answer to that, it's not giving you any more information. It's simply you trying to make yourself look like you're the big-time talk show interviewer. And I'm not, Phil, understand, I'm not criticizing you. It's a reaction that you're having. It's an automatic reaction. So I have to respond when you ask me the question. Go ahead, please ask me the question again.
I don't like the characterization big-time talk show interviewer. I'm not trying to do that. I asked a question that seemed like a logical follow-up.
I understand. Please ask the follow-up again, please.
What else could it be?
Me no know what can't be. Me no know.
All right, and that's supposed to do what?
That is baby talk. Okay, and
I know it's baby talk. What is that supposed to do?
That tells you that your question was on the level of an infant. And so I responded as an infant. And when the American people stop asking questions, I'll give you an example of what the American people say. When is Obama going to do something about it? Okay, that's a stupid question. That's what prompted the Scientists United for Action baby talk. The campaign of baby talk. So when someone says to me, as I was asked last night at a lecture I was giving in Pasadena, they said, when is Obama going to do something about this? I said, Obama dot know what do. Obama dot know, but Obama try best he can. And I pretended like I was crying.
And you did that, and did you tell people you were going to be baby talking him?
No, I did not. And the first people laughed, and I didn't understand why they were laughing. I don't think it's funny. I was trying, and I said, Obama not know what do. BP cause big, BP bad, BP bad.
And okay, Obama not know what do, BP bad. That's what you're trying to tell people.
That's what I'm trying to tell people. No, I answered like an infant. That's what I'm trying to tell people.
So the question of what's Obama going to do about BP is so stupid.
It's beyond stupid. It's an infant. It's what an infant would ask if an infant could talk. And so I responded as how an infant would respond if an infant could talk. What Obama do about oil spill? Me no know. Obama not know. BP bad. BP cause oil. That's what we did, and that's what we'll continue to do until the American people understand what we are up against. It is an Armageddon, an environmental Armageddon. It is an environmental apocalypse is what it is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So that is Dr. Ron Tarner, part of Scientists United for Action, as they have been giving a series of interviews on television and radio about the oil calamity in the Gulf. They are doing these interviews, and if they are asked what they call stupid questions or questions that an infant would ask, they respond in baby talk. They're trying to send the message to the American people that they need to get more educated on the BP disaster. So I would ask you for your phone calls and your questions, but please keep in mind that this is the kind of thing he's going to be engaging in with you if you ask a question that he considers to be, quote, stupid. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Show 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com, and we're back here with Dr. Ron Tarner. And Dr. Tarner is part of the Scientists United for Action in the Gulf, giving, and there are other scientists at present, not maybe tonight, but elsewhere, doing these interviews. You're saying that if somebody asks a stupid question about the Gulf, you answer in baby talk. Has the response by the American people, the curiosity, the questions, the attempt at getting answers by the American people been that shallow?
Phil, I'm afraid it has. And in fact, that question you just asked me right there, I'm tempted to answer in baby speak. But I know that it comes from, it's a non-oil, it's a non-Gulf question, that it comes from an earnest heart. But it's still a very stupid question.
Why is that stupid? I'm asking, seriously, you say the American people's curiosity and their questions about this.
Well, I'll give you an example. I was standing in Mobile, Alabama about a week ago talking to the owner of a bed and breakfast who asked me the following question. He said, Dr. Tarter, is there any way you can burn the oil off the beach? And I even wrote down my response to him. I did it in baby speak. Because
you consider that a stupid question?
Oh, my God, yes. What, is there any way we can burn it off the beach? You think that's a good question?
And I don't know. I'm just...
Well, here's the way I responded to him. I said, here it is. I said, ow, my brain, and please note the pronunciation of brain, brain, my brain hurt from big question that you ask.
So you're sarcastic? You're insulting?
No, I'm not insulting.
That's exactly what it sounds like to me. You're sarcastic and insulting to a business owner who wants to know if there's a way to...
You want to burn oil off of a beach. All right. Go ahead and kill... I don't know how many thousands of human beings that are trying to find a place where there isn't an oil ball to lay down and get a tan, and you've just set fire to a human being. Is that what you're talking about?
Obviously, you would evacuate the beach. You know.
No, not obviously. See, this is what I'm saying to you. People don't think.
Well, obviously, if you suggested let's burn the oil off of the sand, that you would evacuate the beach, right?
Me no no. Me no no. Okay, I know you're asking.
Yeah, don't please, doctor.
No, I'm going to answer you in the baby talk. That was a stupid question, so me no no about oil burn off of sand. Mr. Henry, I know that it infuriates you and it angers people. I'm angry. I'm angry at having to listen to a grown adult ask questions that have been asked and answered a million times, and we still have a gulf that is a seething, it's an oil pan. That's what our Gulf is. The Gulf of Mexico is now a filthy old oil pan underneath some filthy jalopy.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go to a phone call. Here I have Bill listening to us in Salt Lake City on KKAT. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good, sir.
Excellent. Ron, you're an idiot. I don't care how smart you are in whatever
that doesn't
you,
make any difference.
You're not very nice either. You've got to be kidding me. People are trying to learn, and your response is to tell them how stupid their question is. Did you ever consider that maybe you're actually hindering
the
learning
process?
Bad
thing to be. You said bad thing to be.
Oh, come on. Come on, doctor.
Well, the man started out with an insult. Why should I talk to him like an adult?
Well, because are you talking to Phil like an adult? Seriously.
I am talking to Phil as an adult when he asks an adult question, just as I would talk to you as an adult if you spoke as an adult. But since
you're an adult, what you want is for people to speak to you like a scientist. So you think
that's a good point.
If you get together with all the other scientists in the world, then yes, you can have a great scientific adult conversation. But if you get somebody who's brilliant as a doctor, or brilliant as a lawyer, or brilliant in any other field, but doesn't understand your field, you don't feel that you should respect them. What I hope.
All right, let me ask you this: How many different ways do you want me to answer this question? Can we burn the oil off the water? How many different ways can we answer that question? Finally, you have to say to someone, "We don't burn oil off water." Okay.
Well, but I don't think you ever answered it any of the ways other than the way you answered it. So maybe you could start by explaining it. And then guess what? Somebody learns. And they say,
We have explained to the American people as much as we possibly, as patient as I am, I only have so much patience. And I'm sure you understand, or maybe you don't, you only have so much patience for stupidity, and then you've got to move on.
Wait a minute. This man made a very good point when he said that it isn't the purview. It's not the area of learning for a lot of people. Okay.
Ooh, big word. The bad used a big word.
Okay, so what you want to do instead is piss people off, right?
Be not piss people off. You see, Phil, you're forcing me into baby speak. Just as this man did when he called me a turd or whatever it was that he called me. The people that...
He didn't call you a turd. He call, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take a break here, and we'll be back here. Ron Tarner is with us. What happened to that gentleman?
He probably hung up. He was probably so embarrassed. Ron, you're a turd. Ow, that bad say bad word. Call me do. Okay, if that's what he wants to do, fine.
Phil Hendry.
I'll play it any way they want to play it.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number. Our guest is Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory. We're talking, we had Dr. Tarner on last Friday night, but we've got him back to talk about the Scientists United for Action in the Gulf. As we continue to talk about this oil that is flowing into the Gulf, British Petroleum has announced this evening that they have put off closing the valve, this valve test, because of geologic concerns, because they have to look at this map. You are very, very vocal, Dr. Tarner, in saying that the questions the American people have been asking about this oil problem have been so stupid that you are now, and other scientists are now, answering with baby talk. And I submit to you what that gentleman who was just on said, and I thought it was a very good thing that he said, when he said that there are a lot of people well-schooled in a lot of things, and yet they are not that educated on this topic, and they need that education.
Well, they very well need that education, Bill, but I have got to tell you, I'm a scientist, and I have a patience level and a patience limit for answering these questions. Now, one of the reasons why I came up with baby talk is so that I could control my own sense of disappointment, and yes, at times even an anger that I feel when I have to answer this question over and over again, when people say, why can't they bring in more skimmers? That's because skimmers don't work. Skimmers don't work. See, that helps me release the anger that I have. And it is profound anger. And I'll even let you know how deep it is. If you saw 28 weeks later, and you know what I mean when I say knuckle deep with your thumbs, if you saw Blade Runner, that is how I feel.
And I don't. What do you mean, knuckle deep with the thumbs?
In Blade Runner, when he shoves his thumbs into that guy's eyes, that's how I.
Oh my God! Are you telling me that your impatience with people's questions is so deep that you have the kind of you have that rage virus? Or
no, I'm not. I'm saying though that the anger that I have. What do you mean, rage virus? I'm talking.
Well, you mentioned the movie 28 Weeks Later.
No, I'm saying. I get so angry that I want to just shove my thumbs into the eyes of the person asking the question, but I don't do that. Instead, I wish you'd listen to me because I'm saying I don't do that. Instead, I say, the skimmers are the Dutch people. They're not the American people. I have to do that. I have to do that. And I know a lot of other scientists do.
So you don't think you've got some kind of a biochemical problem that when someone asks you a dumb question, you want to shove your thumbs into their eyes, like in Blade Runner, so you talk baby talk?
You can laugh, Mr. Henry. There are those of us fighting the good fight for the Gulf, and we are fighting the fight for our planet. And I'm doing everything I can to keep from losing control of myself. And yes, I use the baby speak alternative.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know who came up with that. Let's talk to Adam in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Adam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I can only come up with one of two things with this gentleman. Either he doesn't have the ability to control himself to the point where he can actually speak to somebody and understand that they have a genuine desire to know. And he doesn't have that ability to speak to him, so he shouldn't be doing what he's doing. He's in the wrong position. Or, how can I put it?
Well, you know, we have a very serious situation going on in the Gulf.
Obviously, but if we
think that people have been educating themselves, if you read a newspaper, so that when they come to me and they say, why don't they have more skimming boats? And why don't they have more skimming boats? The Dutch people have them.
Right, you already said that. You've already covered that.
If they want to talk that way, talk that way, I could go there.
Sir,
I could do that.
Let me speak for a moment, please. Sir, you may be a very intelligent person, but those intelligence are wasted on
American
people
that I'm having to talk to. I'm very intelligent.
Please let me speak. Because the intelligence is wasted when you don't have the ability to communicate those ideas to those who do not know when they are asking legitimate questions. Not everybody.
No, they're not legitimate questions. When they're repetitive questions, they are not legitimate. Ask me a question. Ask me a question.
I would not waste my time in asking you a question. Because no matter what, you are going to be the prima donna and decide whether it's stupid or not. If I ask a question, it's because
I
genuinely...
You know that you've got a stupid question.
Genuinely...
You know that you only have stupid questions.
Sir,
let the man speak. Hold on for a minute, Adam. Ron, I can't hear this man.
It is Dr. Turner.
Okay, Dr. Turner, I can't hear him when you're jumping all over him. Go ahead, Adam.
Sir, if I ask a question, it means I genuinely want to know an answer to it. Now, you may deem it as being a stupid question, but to me, it is not. That's why I asked. There is no question that is stupid other than the ones that was never asked. We ask questions to first. If you educate
yourself. You could have found out in the newspaper. The newspaper could cover all the questions that you have to ask. Like, for instance,
The newspaper covers the questions that the reporter wants to ask.
Maybe I
ask something a little different.
Okay, what is it? You have the courage to ask the question.
There is no asking you a question. It's not worth asking you a question. You're not the person.
This man's not going to ask you a question because you're just going to go into baby talk if this man asks you a question. Okay?
Oh, thank you very much. What did they used to call Johnny? The Great Karnak. Thank you, Great Karnak. You know the future, huh?
I know that if any question this man asks is going to be stupid.
All right, Phil, then why don't you jump into the breach and you ask an intelligent question?
No, I can't believe
I'd like you to ask an intelligent question.
That comment about the interviewer. That blew my mind. I can't believe you put up with that comment about the interviewer. That was not only rude and insulting, that was ignorant.
Why? What did he say?
What did I say?
Well, when you called him, you only asked the question to make yourself seem like a brilliant interviewer.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's good. But you go ahead and ask me a question.
All right. Here's a question. I'd like to know what is a reasonable timetable, knowing what the pressure is, knowing the extent of the deposit that they're working with, knowing the equipment available, and knowing the tests and also knowing the technologies that they're trying to apply here to cap this thing. What is a reasonable time frame when they'll have this well capped? I knew it.
Well, you didn't let me answer.
No, you're going into baby talk.
Yes, I'm going into baby speak. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. In my life.
In your life. What is a reasonable time frame for when this thing will be capped?
President Obama, he probably don't. I don't know. There, are you happy?
See, I'm right. And this man's right. There's no question that I can ask that you won't mock.
Excuse me, you asked me one question and I mocked it because it was dumb. Now, that guy doesn't want to ask any questions because he's hiding behind your apron.
No.
Okay, I got to take a break. Not take a break. I got to take another call. Adam, thank you so much though for your call, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. That gentleman, I think said it well. He's not going to ask a question. He's going to be mocked.
Why does he think that?
I asked a pretty damn good question.
You asked me when I think that they're going to have the well cap. You know how many times I've been asked that question?
No, I didn't. But that's not how I asked it.
No, you put a lot of real fancy trivets on it. You asked a lot of, the geologic. You put a lot of big words on it with a lot of different syllables, but it's the same dumb question. When are they going to have a cap? Probably when President Obama becomes Jesus Christ. There. Now you made me blaspheme. Because, Phil, this is a problem.
I made you do what?
I said that you forced me into a blasphemous line of thinking, because this is a problem.
I didn't force you to do that at all. You did.
No, when you asked me when is it going to be capped, I answered by, in the simple-minded way people want me to answer it, which is that, well, Obama's Jesus, so I guess he'll come down and point at it, and it'll stop leaking oil. Is that what you think?
No, that's not what I think. What I'm trying to find out is, in all honesty, what would be an outside shot? What would be the outside guess? Chris in Nashville, Tennessee, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just have a comment, and I just wanted to say that it feels like the doctor is being extremely condescending when somebody asks a simple question, whether they had already, he'd already been asked that or not. The person asking that question really didn't know whether he'd been asked that question or not. And I don't know what his doctor is in, but it feels like that he's not real receptive to somebody, again, trying to get a decent answer to a simple question. A good question,
Mr. Henry,
doctor, yes. A good question I'd like to put to you would be, if you have all this knowledge about the way things are going down and what has happened and what's going on, why did you not put yourself in the forefront of this incident when it first happened and say, hey, allow me to offer to you my information and my knowledge so we can rectify this situation now? Now, that's a pretty direct question. Pretty direct.
That is a direct question, but unfortunately, you know what's coming. Baby speak.
Well,
why?
And the reason would be is because I don't think you really have a good, legitimate answer for that. I think that more times than not, that's probably an easy way for you to get away and avoid giving a direct answer to what is pretty much a prudent and effective question. You know, I mean, if you had all the knowledge and you saw they were having trouble, why don't you just go, hey, can I come in and offer some suggestions to y'all? I mean, whether you take them or not, allow me to do this for you, see if I can help the community. But I know you thought you'd wait until now things are
happening. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to answer your question. I won't use baby speak. Although I do feel your question qualifies for baby speak, but I won't use it.
I think it's a damn good question. I think it's a great question.
We've already ascertained, Phil, that I don't think your opinion really matters.
Well, it matters insofar as I'm the host of the show.
Okay, well, you just pulled your ace card, didn't you? You're going to pull the race. You're pulling the race card, aren't you?
What do you mean the race card?
You're pulling the race card. Now, your question, sir, I'll answer it. Do you want to know why I didn't offer my services to the scientific and technologic community when this happened?
Yes, sir.
Because certain members of that community are jealous of what I've been able to find out. They know that I have the patent on five different pieces of operating equipment that could put a lot of these so-called businesses out of business, these cleanup businesses, these skimming. They know who I am, and they're scared to death of me.
Oh, brother.
What does old brother mean?
Oh, that sounds like so much horse dung. How do we know?
How dare you?
What do you mean they're jealous of you? How do we know what's going on in your business?
This man asked me a question, and I resisted baby speak, didn't I? Even though I get enraged to the point where I want to press my thumbs into a man's eyes. And now what are you saying?
And this whole thing about you being enraged to the point of pressing your thumbs into a guy's eyes? How do I know that you are so, that you are so envied in the scientific and technological communities that they don't want to know what you got to say?
Because I picked the phone up and I said, Rod Tarter here, when you guys get done screwing around, you know where I am. And they haven't called. You know why? Because they're afraid of me. Because they're afraid that I am going to garner most of the accolades with this thing flying as cab. There. Are you happy? I didn't use baby speak, and I gave you a straight answer. And what did you do? You insulted me.
Yeah, I insulted you, because it sounds like, as I said, horse dung. It sounds like a lot of paranoid, forgive me, it sounds like a bunch of coast-to-coast stuff. Anyway, Terry, and I say that with all due respect. Terry, thank you very much for your call. 877-87, whoever that was. Was that Terry?
No, that was Tina.
Tina?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Tina. It wasn't a Tina, it was a guy.
Yeah, I know, but his name was Tina.
His name wasn't Tina. We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, I think it was Tina.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah.
listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. Ron Tarner with us as we wrap up here talking to Ron about this terrible disaster oil-wise, the BP disaster in the Gulf, and the education of the public and the knowledge of the public, the questions the public asks. And I don't know what Scientists United for Action in the Gulf is going to accomplish, Ron, when someone asks a question that you deem to be so stupid, you respond in baby talk. I don't know what you hope to prove. I don't know who you hope to educate.
You know, Phil, it's very funny to be Stephen Hawking, who I know and I don't like. And I've known Stephen since he came to the United States, and I've listened to much of what he's had to say on a variety of topics. He has a great popularity, and I know it's based in no small measure on the fact that he is, and I'll put this as kindly as I can, an unusual-looking man.
I don't want to talk about that, okay?
No, hold on for a minute. What do you mean you don't want to talk about that?
I don't want to talk about Stephen Hawking's malady. I don't want to talk about an unusual-looking man.
You don't want to talk about the fact that Stephen Hawking attracts very beautiful women. You don't want to talk about that. And you don't want to talk about the fact that while Stephen Hawking attracts beautiful women, every Friday night I am starting all over again. It's as if every Friday night I have been born all over again. I'm an infant all over again. And so I have to do something before I get much older to make my statement. And to that degree, I came up with baby talk. And you may think it's silly, but if you do some of the racist jokes that Stephen Hawking tells... And
why are we talking about Stephen Hawking?
You know what? Nobody wants to talk about what Stephen Hawking does wrong. All they want to do is talk about...
Why are we talking about him when we're talking about BP and the oil problem?
I don't talk about BP oil problem.
There you go with baby talk. Why, was that a stupid question?
It was a very stupid question, yes.
Because I want to talk about BP and not Stephen Hawking. That's a stupid question.
Stephen Hawking has more to do with the interference of information in this country than most people dare to think.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to a phone call, and it's Bruce in Boulder, Colorado. Bruce, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, a couple comments for the doctor. Doctor, I was taught by my father, and I've taught my four boys, that there are no stupid questions. There are only stupid answers.
No, there are.
And
there are stupid questions.
Because
there are stupid questions.
Because the people that are... I get bombarded with questions all day. I just do home repair. When the customer watches me, they ask me questions a lot of times. Some of them, to me, seem very silly because everything seems very simple to me. I chalk it up to ignorance. Hey, they really want
to
know.
Do you get to use
how
a hammer?
Excuse me?
Do you get to use a hammer?
Oh, come on.
Well, he wants to do a speech. Do you get to use a hammer and a nail? See?
What are you doing that for?
Because he's giving a speech.
He's giving us his opinion.
I'm giving you an opinion. Are you so educated and so arrogant that you cannot listen to anyone else if it's not exactly on their line or your level?
If it's boring, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to say yes? Do you want me to lie and say yes?
Did you ever think that maybe these people are not calling you for your help? Because I wouldn't call you after listening to you.
I'd not call me for my
help. Why would I call an educated, arrogant, pompous guy to come and help me when everything I might say to him, I might get some baby talk answer?
Well, you have hammer and nail. You go hammer house.
What? You know what, Ron? All you want to do...
It's Dr. Tarner.
No, it's Ron. It's Ron. I'm going to call you Ron.
Let me tell you something, Fred. I worked 8 years for that doctorate.
You might have worked 8 years, but you've not gained any respect on this show, and I don't think you're entitled to that doctor at all. You have been saying to people...
What do you mean doctor at all? It's a doctorate.
That's what I said. And this man made some good statements about no stupid questions, only stupid answers. And
men say stupid answers. Oh, boy, the baby talk fails me. That's how dumb both you guys are. The baby talk fails me. And you guys think that it's easy. It's not. When we are looking at a worldwide calamity, do you know the oil that's being pumped into, that's pumped into the Gulf? It could get all the way around the world, and then it'll just be... I don't know what it'll be. I don't...
How long would that take?
Maybe about 5 minutes.
You see how stupid you are?
What, you're the one that's stupid with the oil could go around the world. Here's a guy that works as a carpenter, or this gentleman is a framing carpenter or something, and he is answering the questions of his customers as patiently as he can, even though they may be the dumbest questions in the world. I'll bet you when you ask a guy like that a question, you sound like an idiot, Ron.
What guy?
A guy that might be redoing the interior of your home.
I won't put myself in that position. My wife will ask. Well, I don't have a wife anymore, but my girlfriend will. I'll have her ask the question so I don't sound stupid. That's what people don't understand. And I'll tell you one other thing. Do you think that Stephen Hawking talks to the guy that's putting in his toilet? No, he doesn't. You know why? Because Stephen Hawking doesn't own a toilet. Do you know why? Because Stephen Hawking said...
All right, thank you. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
This is a bag.